This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, afternoon. Thanks for being here. Pat Scripp, the district manager of the Douglas Forest Protective Association, in this afternoon. It seems, Pat, like fire is all over the news nationally, and they keep talking about Oregon. It looks like it's shaping up to be a very busy summer.
Yes, it is.
So now, locally, though, so far, things have been more on the, I don't want to say quiet, but a little more on the normal side than some of the other areas, right?
Well, it has been relatively quiet in the last couple weeks for us. But year-to-date, we have had 67 fires for over 330 acres burned. That is above our 10-year average of for this time of year of 40 fires and 155 acres burned. But currently, we're in high fire danger and on the top end of that, and in currently in a fire industrial closure level 3.
And it's probably not going to take a lot to get us up to extreme.
No, it just another weather event could put us over what we recognize as our business threshold, where we have significant fires both in acres and dollars spent. So to date, our fuels conditions are actually about mid-August, ahead of schedule, outside of the standard deviation. You know, as far as the activity here, we've been calm, and I want to extend a thank you to the citizens of Douglas County for being fire wise and cautious in their activities.
And, you know, looking at the next several days, I mean, we're up to 95 degrees by Saturday, several days in a row above 90. That's got to be concerning.
Yeah, so it will change this weekend as activities increase. We're looking at these little lulls coming through, but it doesn't matter necessarily how high we're above that threshold, but how long we stay exposed to that, where we could have events, if they line up correctly, you know, for significant fires. And so we're into that an extended period already this season.
Now, right now, you said we're like it is mid to late August. Do you remember how that compares to where we were at this point last year?
Actually, we are ahead of schedule from where we're at. Prior to this cool down, we had days that were very similar to just the week prior to the Archie fire. So when we get those weather events of the high pressure setting in, the warm temperatures, or an offshore flow, yeah, it puts us up into the extreme.
Now, what about when you're setting fire danger? What kind of goes into all those decisions?
So it's a combination of experience, but we try and apply the best science that we have at the time, where we monitor the conditions throughout the season. We monitor what's called an energy release component, and it brings all those indices together. It really tells us the resistance to control that a fire will have. So as we elevate those indices later in the summer, we know we have to bring more manpower and iron and aviation assets to it. We also track those heavy fuels, those larger diameter fuels, as they dry out. We know they don't respond quickly to, let's say, a marine push or a little bit of precip. So they're a pretty steady indicator for us. And the last one is we track what's called the ignition component, or IC. And so we could figure out what the probability of ignition is. And we see those events just like during the Archie. We saw those coming with the offshore and strong east winds, and modified our closures for that period.
What about with the fires that are going on and some very big ones? If something starts, what's the availability of resources?
So nationally, they're in a planning level of 5, and there are drawdowns throughout the state of Oregon and the Northwest. So, and we're lending to that effort as well. But we have a plan in place that, you know, we always maintain that component here of fire line leadership and resources. We're tied in close with our volunteer and rural departments, as well as our industrial component of forest workers, which were just key in our success there on Archie.
With the amount of forestry that goes on, and with the amount of timberlands in this area, Does that help maybe over some areas, some other areas that don't have a lot of those folks around?
Absolutely. It's very unique to Southern Oregon and Douglas County in particular that our industrial partners, they're part of the complete and coordinated system here in Oregon. And they not only leverage their resources of heavy equipment, but they commit time and training to their workforce. This year we've trained over 600 forest workers, one type or another that we could bring to bear upon the fire, as well as some middle management leadership of they're called local resource bosses that help us manage that heavy equipment and fallers and in the industrial component. Very unique to Southern Oregon, and Douglas County probably has the strongest program throughout the state.
So here we are in the middle of the summer. You've got a number of public use restrictions. Talk about what some of those mean for the general public.
So we have two things that we regulate. We have a tool called the public use restrictions or regulated use, where we restrict certain activities by the general public, those that are fire prone. You know, it's sort of along the campaign of one less spark. Some of those are restricted throughout the year on forest land or fire season, such as fireworks and open fires outside of designated areas. And then we have other activities such as mowing and chainsaw use that we tie to the adjective rating of low, moderate, high, and extreme. And we restrict those in the time that they could operate when it's the highest probability of ignition. We'll restrict that. And then as fire season kind of tapers down, we'll draw those back to, you know, mowing of dry grass as might be permitted, before 1 o'clock or right now it's at before 10 and not until after 8 o'clock.
And sometimes when you have those out, don't you have other factors there? I mean, if somebody's got private land, they may, you know, have maybe even a more stringent set of things they want.
Yeah, so that's the general. A lot of our industrial landowners here in Douglas County have, and public land management agencies have their own restrictions in effect. So that, you know, I encourage all forest users to reach out to the landowner or the agency that's managing that ground and see what kind of restrictions they have in place. One great site is dfpa.net, and we have a link to where private landowners have posted their current closures.
Now let's talk about the industrial fire precaution level. First of all, explain the system.
So it's a level of one being the lowest up to level four, which is a closure of forest activities. And these regulations regulate those industrial activities such as, you know, road building or harvesting and logging. Mind you that there are additional requirements for these operators. They have tool requirements and water requirements and hose to reach all parts of the operation. So we're currently in a level three where we're restricting, again, those activities that we know might have the risk of a spark and starting something. And then, you know, recently or last year, we did have to go to a level four where we shut down forest activities or forest industrial activities.
And as these levels increase, then you've got more restrictions. And I'm curious, you know, I'm just thinking about how every morning around 6 a.m. I run out to get coffee and I see all the log trucks coming down doing the work, you know, from Archie Creek last year. Does that have some implications for them?
You bet it does. You know, we have issued some additional waivers on those closures within the Archie Creek fire. You know, recognizing that the risk and threat is low, the vegetation hasn't come back. There's the fine fuels that really carry that fire are absent, and so we're being, I wouldn't say liberal, but we are issuing waivers in there, and so anticipate hauling of logs to continue off those fire scars. It's critical for those folks to get those to market and salvage what they can out of it. You know, whether it's driven by the bugs coming in or just the checking of the wood, it's key that they have that opportunity. And we do an inspection on each operation to make sure it's fire safe.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County, talk more about what might be ahead. Pat Scripp, the district manager of the Douglas Forest Protective Association. Interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming at 1. Mike Witter's Lawn and Garden Show later, part of KQE and Local Talk at 4. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County program, you'll meet the new president of Umpqua Community College, Dr. Rachel Cochran, will be in studio with us. Patrick Scripp from the Douglas Forest Protective Association in now, kind of talking about where we stand in fire season and the closures and restrictions and all of that. Where could all this lead down the road if we are basically about 6 weeks, 4 weeks ahead of normal in terms of the fire conditions?
Well, in our toolbox, we have a couple other options beyond the public use restrictions. And just to be fully transparent, you know, we recognize that when we put these additional closures on, whether it's a IFPL level 4 or that next step of regulating the public to a permit closure, we significantly impact people's lives and ability to sometimes, continue their recreation activities as well as make a living. So we don't take them lightly. But in our toolbox, we have the ability to elevate that as fire danger warrants to a permit closure that restricts access to the land of the landowner and their agent, or an absolute closure, which would restrict all activities and only to the landowner.
So explain more about how the permit closure works.
So, you know, we're going through that process. Last time we did this was in 2002, where we're identifying the closure area. We would have maps filed with the state of Oregon. We would put it in the paper and run it, weeks in advance or 5 days in advance to get the word out. And we would issue permits to the landowners if someone was found to be on property that was not theirs and they didn't have the access permit, they could be cited with a uniform citation, and there's a fine associated with that. Again, we don't want to go there, but a majority of our fires in Oregon are human caused, and with the drawdown, I think currently there's over 5,000 firefighters in the state of Oregon working on some of these larger fires. And then I can't remember in my 37-year career of a absolute closure, and that'd be something very extreme.
What would that mean?
It would mean that access is limited only to the landowner, and we would actually put on probably some restrictions of, accessing it through motorized vehicles with time restrictions, and then beyond outside those time restrictions, it'd be by foot only.
So would that be something DFPA would put on, or would that be a lot of agencies working together?
Well, it'd be a coordinated effort. You know, in our checkerboard ownership, we'd want to make sure that we're coordinated with our multi-agencies that manage the land here in Douglas County. Again, I haven't seen such a closure in my career, but a permit closure is probable if conditions warrant, and again, it's based on tracking those fire indices of the fuels, also the availability. It also comes into play is if we lose our visibility and our airsheds fill up with smoke, where neither our cameras or aircraft are capable of detecting fires.
Wow, kind of ominous sounding.
It's just sort of awareness. It's a tool for us, and we'll only use it when we feel it's truly warranted.
What about the Jack Fire right now? What has been DFPA's role?
So within the Jack Fire perimeter, there are, let's call them, end holdings of our jurisdiction, private land holdings right around the Dry Creek area. So we have been engaged on that from the very beginning. We put crews and engines and dozers up there, trailed those out. We worked in conjunction with the incident management team number 9 on the first couple weeks, and now we're coordinating with the new incident management team 10 that's up there. We're actually in a monitor and patrol status on the private holdings. Very few acres burned, and we also had the state fire marshal's task forces come in and assume a unified command with that federal team. They provided the fire protection on the structures, and we engaged on the wildland.
We've been watching the bootleg fire situation. That's the one that's hitting the national news, is the huge fire that it is. DFPA, have any folks out on that?
Yeah, we have a few folks out on the bootleg. They're assigned to one of the Oregon Department of Forestry's incident management teams. And they're coming up on their 14 days assignment over there. We're lending the effort to the large fire efforts throughout Oregon. All three incident management teams from the state of Oregon are out on assignment. And just today, we've sent some single resource bosses to far northeast Oregon to the Elbow Fire, and we'll be filling in with a couple engines tomorrow to support their efforts up there.
So because of the rotation where you're on essentially for 14 days, and then you've at least got a break before you go back, in theory.
In theory.
Yeah. Do you anticipate that more folks from here are going to be going other places?
So we do what's called a drawdown, and we evaluate, you know, the fire line leadership, the number of resources we have, and we don't want to get down below that. So right now we're at this level where we feel we are able to support the large fire efforts, but still maintain that high level of initial attack readiness here in the district. And I want to reassure the citizens of Douglas County that, you know, we have the capacity with our heavy equipment and helicopters and engines still in place.
I'm curious about this Hill Creek fire, this holdover fire yesterday.
Yeah, so throughout the Archie Creek fire scar, there are, we're finding rekindles in a lot of them are in old snags or jackpots. The fire has gone underground in other places. So we hiked into a snag that was above where they're doing hazard tree removal along 138. And as we were monitoring it and assessing it for the threat and escape, we decided to kind of monitor it. And as we were making our game plan, it actually came over on its own. It's too dangerous to put a saw into. And so we have a line around it, and we're letting the heavy fuels burn out. It's about a 4-foot diameter tree or snag on ONC lands there.
So looking ahead, got a couple of minutes left here on Inside Douglas County. What are we looking at in terms of the weather conditions for the rest of the summer and into early fall?
Well, the National Weather Service and Predictive Services has us above normal temperatures for the next month or 3 months, and moving into, you know, significant fire potential here in southern Oregon. So the changes we're going to see are very minor with, you know, marine influences, but all trajectories put us at continuing to see our fire danger increase. And, you know, that'll put us well into September with the threat of large fires here in the district.
And what about the drought conditions?
So we, throughout Douglas County, we are either in a severe or extreme drought. We're noticing east of the Cascades, or excuse me, east of I-5, that drought is a little more severe in that extreme. And that was one of the effects of the, up on the Jack Fire, is watching, you know, that fire take off for early July. And now it's kind of hit this elevation mark where we're seeing it slow down. But that elevation mark will move up in throughout the summer. And the heavy fuels up there are very abnormally dry, say 9%, where they should be about a 14%.
So what's our chances of a bigger fire between now and September sometime?
Oh, well, very likely. I mean, if it's in the right place, it gets that alignment with the high energy release component. If all that falls on a day where we have high winds and slope behind it, you know, we could be off to the races again. But very similar strategy to last year is we're all in on the initial attack. We're going to be aggressive and have a timely response. We're not going to hold anything back and bring to bear on that fire.
Pat Scripp of the Douglas Forest Protective Association, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
1257 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.